Welcome to Gemar Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief format and introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur five lines from the top of Daf Tes Zayin. You will notice there is a bow tie marking, and this bow tie marking was featured in our Nosei Mivneh heading that appeared back on Tes Vov Amud Beis. We are actually in the middle of a discussion. So just to briefly recap what we started toward the end of our previous year, if you have Tes Vov Amud Beis available, so you will notice on the last third of the Amud, there was a diamond. And to the side of the Gemara, there was a note that it was Tomid. Also, you find in a diamond, that's Maseches Tomid, and a second diamond, a few lines later, indicating Maseches Midos. These are two tractates in Seder Kochim. Tomid, by the way, has more Mishnayos text-wise, or the equal amount or more of Mishnayos than there is Gemara commentary. And Maseches Midos, there is only Mishnayos in that tractate, both at the end of Seder Kochim. There appears in our Gemara to be a contradiction between the two sources in terms of the location of the Lishkas HaTloyim, the chamber housing the sheep that were used for the Tomid Korbonos, for the daily public sacrifices, Tomid Shel Shachar, Tomid Shel Beinu Abayim. What do we mean by a contradiction? So in Maseches Tomid, the location of the Lishkas HaTloyim was given as the corner, the northwestern corner of the Beis HaMoked. The Beis HaMoked, if you have a chart or a map of the Beis HaMikdash, which we highly advise accessing, you will notice that there is a large chamber called the Beis HaMoked, and within that there were four smaller chambers, one in each corner of that structure known as the Beis HaMoked. So in our discussion we'll be dealing with the Beis HaMoked, and one of the chambers was the Lishkas HaTloyim, which, according to Maseches Tomid, was located in the Miktsoya Tzvonis Marofis. Tzvonis is north, Marofis west, northwestern corner of the Beis HaMoked. When you come to Maseches Midos, it says that the Lishkas Tloy Korban was located in the southwestern corner of the Beis HaMoked. How do we resolve the seeming contradiction in terms of location? So we will notice bow ties in the sugya, in our Gemara. We have number one is over here, and we have an indication. You'll notice on Tes Zayin Amud Aleph that the bow tie number two appears on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. So that is it's a long ways off. That's the it shows you the extent of this particular sugya. There is a another quasi bow tie, that is, the second line from the bottom of this Omid, which there's room to say that Rav Ado is coming to resolve the Stira as well. However, it's debatable if that's exactly what Rav Ado's role is. So we've marked it in this hesitating fashion with a dashed bow tie. But we're trying to resolve these two sources, Maseches Tomid versus Maseches Midos. How do we resolve them? So now let's pick up our Gemara five lines from the top of Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. Omar Rav Huna, Man Tano Midos, who is the author of Midos? Rebbe Lozer Ben Yankev Hi. By doing this, by saying that it is authored by so-and-so, in this case Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we're basically saying that there is a machlokes tanoim, and that it's not a contradiction in sources, but there's an issue here of authorship. They're authored by different authorities. Our job right now is to demonstrate how Maseches Midos is authored by Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, making it, as we say, a separate authority, hence no contradiction. You've got Maseches Midos authored by him, and Maseches Tomid authored by someone else. It's interesting to note that in our previous shiur, the Gemara attempted to say that that Maseches Tomid was authored by Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzvah, but that was rejected, and we said rather Maseches Yuma was authored by him, but that was in a previous shiur. If you look at this Tanaic source, which lasts a number of lines, you see a dashed underlining. Truth be told, that only that dashed underlining is important for us at this point in time, because it's at that point where you see Reb Elazar ben Yaakov's name dashed on the line within this source, which is from Maseches Midos. So we are showing you that Maseches Midos is authored by him. The rest of the information in this source is less central to our sugya's agenda. So now, that having been said, we look into the source, and on the side above the Gemara, we have our nosei, our topic heading, and we note midos here means dimensions. Ezra's Hanoshim, dimensions of the courtyard of women. When we say midos, we say dimensions, and also it's a reference to Maseches Midos, of course, because that's the source that's being cited. The Ezra's Hanoshim, the Ezo L'shochois Hoyu Ba, and what chambers were located off the Ezra's Noshim. Azora is a courtyard. Hanoshim, this was the courtyard designated for the women. And there were chambers that were built in the corners of that courtyard. Another topic that will be dealt with is Goiva Haksolim, the height of the walls, the Hashorim, and the height of the entranceways, Saviv Harabayas, the walls and the entranceways leading into the Temple Mount. And a third point that will come under discussion are Govo Ha'alios Mehar Habayas Ad Ha'echal, the height increase, after what we call it the Temple Mount. So when you start at the base of the Temple Mount, there is a rise till you get to the Heichal, where the enclosed structure within the Azorah of the base Hamikdash. So we're going to be dealing with that as well, the increased heights. So we now turn to the text itself. After Rav Huna tells us that the author of Midos is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, we read the source, Desnan, Ezra's Noshim Hoiso Oirech Mea Ushloshim Uchomesh Al Roichav Mea Ushloshim Uchomesh. The Ezra's Noshim, the Azorah of the Beis Hamikdash, referred to as the courtyard of the women, was a square area of 135 by 135 amos. The Arba Lishochos Hoyu Ba'arba Mitzoiseha. There were four Lishochos chambers in the four Mitzoiseha, four corners. Uma Hoyu Mishamshos, what was the role of those chambers? So Dromis Mizrochis, the southeastern chamber, he Hoyso Lishkas HaNazirim. That was known as the chamber of the Nazirim. Nazir is a person who, by vow, abstains from wine and other restrictions applied to the Nazir. So in that Lishka, Shisham Nazirim Mevashlim Es Shalomehem Umegalchin Siron Umeshalchin Tachasadud. It was in that chamber that the Nazir, who at the conclusion of his Nazirite period would bring a series of korbanos, one of them was a korban shlomim, and in with regard to his korban shlomim, the meat was boiled in that chamber. That's mevashlim eshalmehem umegalchin saron. They would take the haircut, which is necessary at the conclusion of the nazir period, umeshalchin tachas adud, and the hair was thrown into the fire under the cauldron, boiling the meat. Mizrachis tzvoinis, the northeastern chamber of the that was built off the Ezra's Noshim, he hoisa lishkas dir ha'etzim. It was a lishka, a chamber that was designated for the wood. Shisham koyanim bali mumin oimden umaslin be'etzim. There, the blemished kohanim were those that could not serve in the Beis Hamikdash. However, they would stand there, and maslin is the process of checking for worms that may have eaten into the wood that would be used in the on the altar, and that kind of wood would be unfit. So they would have to check the wood for for any worms. Shekol eitz sheyesh bo tolas posul legabi mizbech. Any wood that has in it a worm would be unfit for the altar. Tzfonis Maravis, the northwestern chamber, he hoisa lishkas hamitzoroyin. That was the lishka known as the Mitzoroyim lishka. And Rashi says that Meforsh Pirkan de Lekamon, it's explained in the next in later on, Shesham Hamitzoroyin Tovlin Bishmini the Tarosan Kishiboyin Lahachnis Yudeim Lebohinois. The Mitzora, who had been Tomei for a period of time, and then at the eighth day of his Tahara, of his purification week, the day after, on the eighth day, he would immerse himself in that chamber when they would come to the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of extending their hands into the Azora while standing in the Shar Nikanor. Even though they had immersed themselves the day before, there was another immersion they were to do on the eighth day. Now, we're not here right now to focus on the procedures and of purification of a mitzvah, just mentioning that the northwestern corner of the Ezra's Noshim had this lishka in it. Marovas Dromis, the southwestern corner of the Ezra's Noshim, there was a chamber. Omar Reb Elozer ben Yaakov shochachti mahoisa meshameshon. Now, regarding that one, says Reb Elozer ben Yaakov, I forgot what its role was. Now, the fact that he says I forgot what that was, so he must have been the one that was recounting for us what the other chambers were. Hence, he is the author of this source. Namely, he is the author of Maseches Midos, from which this source comes. Abashol Omer Ba Hoyu Nosnim Yayin Veshemen. So Abashol, upon hearing that Reb Elozer ben Yaakov forgot what their role was, what the role of the southwestern chamber was, so he says, Bo, there, Hoyu Nosnim Yayin Veshemen, they would store the wine and oil. And it was known as the office of Beis Shmanya. Beis Shmanya, Shemen, is likely a term referring to the Shemen, to the oil. At this point, we notice a Nekuda Aruka, a long point marking, that will take us to the third line from the bottom. We have a note on the side. You'll notice there's a starred note where we've written He'ora. The Hemshech HaNekuda, it means in the continuation of this particular long point. Muchach Doha Dekotoni B'Stam Mishneh or B'Stam Maseches Midas. We will show that which it says in a unnamed section of Maseches Midos, the Hoyotzorach Lahanich Koisel Hamizrochi Shal Harabayis, that there was a necessity of having the eastern wall surrounding the Temple Mount being lower than the other walls. Hainu Rak Aliba de Cheshboinoi Shel Goivu Halio Shel Reb Elozer ben Yaakov. That fact, or necessity of having a lower eastern Temple Mount wall, will be understood only if you accept the calculation of Reb Elozer ben Yaakov. Lochein hidgashnu Bepasim, we have emphasized using lines, underlining, es kol shiurei ho'aliyah sheshayochim lecheshbon zeh. We're interested in emphasizing the statistics regarding the increase in height of the Temple Mount. Because of increase of height, there will be a need for having a low eastern wall. We will say a bit more about this momentarily, but we want to just emphasize what's the point of our Gemara. So we will repeat. We have shown so far that Maseches Midos, as Rav Huna claimed, was authored by Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and we did so in the meantime by showing how Rav Elazar ben Yaakov was the speaker in the source we already learned regarding the chambers around the Ezras Noshim. The Gemara wants to hammer home that point that it must be that Maseches Midos that is authored by him. Maybe the point of the Gemara is to say that all of Maseches Midos is authored by him, as we will see in this next source dealing with the fact that there was a low wall on the eastern side of the Temple Mount, and the only way to explain the need for a low wall is by accepting Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's statistics regarding the increased height of the Temple Mount itself. Now, everyone is probably wondering, what is the relationship between the need for a low wall and what's the purpose of having a low wall on the eastern side of the Temple Mount? So we left out the main thing. The issue here has to do with the preparation of the Pora Aduma, the slaughtering and burning of the Pora Aduma, and in preparation of its ashes that would be used for mixing with water for the purification of Tamei Mesim. And we're not going to be looking at that aspect of the Pora Aduma. Just be aware that that's what Pora Aduma is all about. During the processing of the Pora Aduma, there was a necessity of after it's being slaughtered, and we have to emphasize, Pora Aduma, the red heifer, was not a sacrifice. It's called a chatos in the Torah, which often means a sin offering, but it was not a sacrifice. It was slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash on what's called Har HaMashcha, often translated as the Mount of Olives. And to this day, the Mount of Olives basically corresponds to the discussion in our Gemara. It was located east. Its Mount of Olives, or HaMashcha, is located east of the Beis HaMikdash. So the eastern side of the Temple Mount and the eastern side of the Beis HaMikdash is facing the Har HaMashcha. The Har HaMashcha, as its name implies, Har is a mount. Mashcha is oil, when oil comes from olives, hence the term Mount of Olives. That was also, as we said, a mountain with its own height increase. The Kohen, who was processing the Pora Aduma, needed to sprinkle the blood in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. But he had to do so from a point on the Mount of Olives that he could see into the entrance of the Heichal. Now, the Heichal was located on the high point of the Temple Mount. So you have two mountains facing one another, Mount of Olives and the Temple Mount. And we said that it's necessary to be able to stand on the Mount of Olives at a point at which you could peer across and see into the entranceway of the Heichal. And the Heichal was located, we'll say within the context of our Gemara, fairly high up on the Temple Mount, on the high part of the Temple Mount. The thing is that the Temple Mount was surrounded by a very high wall. There were gates that entered, were entranceways into the Temple Mount, and the gates themselves had a height of 20 amos. So if you peer through the gate of the Temple Mount, and the gates surrounding the Temple Mount were at a low point on the mountain, if you were to peer through the gate, even if you were peering through the upper space of the gate, the question is, could you see through that upper space of the gate? Because, again, you were on a mountain as well. You were on the Mount of Olives, so you increased your altitude to a point at which you could look through the upper point of the gate leading to the Har HaBayis. Could you look through that and still be able to notice to see through to the entrance of the Heichal? If you could do that, so you could stand on the Har HaMashma, on the Mount of Olives, and while facing that point, the point opposite the gate, even if it's the high point of the gate surrounding the Har HaBayis, and still see the Heichal, so then you're in a good position for sprinkling the blood. However, if, as a result of the calculations we'll make in the Gemara, the Har HaBayis rises to a point, by the time you get to the Heichal, it's risen so much that it's more than 20 amos above the top edge of the gateway leading to the Har HaBayis. So then, if you had a regular wall at that point, the wall naturally is built, a wall has which has a doorway in it or a gateway in it, naturally the wall itself is higher. So you wouldn't be able to look through the gate of the Har HaBayis anymore because and see the Heichal, because the Har HaBayis has risen to such a height that the entrance to the Heichal is more than 20 amos from the base of the Har HaBayis. If that's the case, then the only solution will be to have a low wall surround on the eastern side so that he'll be able to, the Kohen processing the Pora Aduma on the Mount of Olives will be able to look over the wall, because it's a low wall. He'll be able to see over the top of the wall and see into the entranceway of the Heichal. So if we can simplify things, there's the goal right now is to establish, can the Kohen processing the Pora see through the gate of the Har HaBayis, peering through that and notice the entranceway of the Heichal? If not, there will be a need for a low wall on the eastern side of the Temple Mount. Now, the Gemara. The Gemara says, second to last narrow line, at the beginning of our long point, Hochinami Mistabra, the Rabbi Elazar ben Yankafi. It is likely, it's logical to say that the author of Midos, in fact, is Rabbi Elazar ben Yankafi, Disnan. Kol haksolim shehoyu sham, hoyu gvoyim. All the walls surrounding the Temple Mount were tall. Chutz mikosel mizrachi, except for the eastern wall, Shakoyin, a service of Pora, the Koyin who was burning the red heifer, Oimei Bahar HaMashcha, he would be standing on the Mount of Olives, Umiskavein Veroya Keneged Pischo Shel Heichal, he would position himself and aim himself up and see the entrance of the Heichal above the height of that wall, looking over the Koysel Mizrachi, the low Koysel Mizrachi, B'shas Hazoas Hadam, at the time he'd be sprinkling the blood of the red heifer. So we're dealing right now with a Mishnah that's in Maseches Midos. So the Maseches Midos claims that there was a low eastern Temple Mount wall, because otherwise he would not be able to look through the entranceway on the eastern the entranceway in the eastern wall, and be able to see into the entrance of the Heichal, which was located quite a bit higher up. Utnan, kol hapsochim shoyusham gvoyim esrim amo. There's a given that all the gateways leading to the Temple Mount had a height, the entranceway itself had a height of 20 amos. The roshman esrim amos, the width was 10 amos. The width is not a statistic that's important for us right now. We are underlining and highlighting only the statistics that are important for our calculation. Utnan, it's also taught, lifnim imenu, soreg, as you would enter the Temple Mount, the ground at that point was called the soreg. Utnan, lifnim imenu, hachel, eser amos. And within that, as you continue walking in, there was another area called the chel, measuring 10 amos. Ushtem esrei malos hoyu sham. And there were 12 stairs that were there. Room, now, above Shtemes Reimaus, we wrote in 6 Amos Kova. The numbers are very important. We're starting now a height increase, or an increase in altitude. We are rising 6 Amos by virtue of the fact that there were 12 stairs. What's the relationship between stairs and height? Room malo chatziamo vishulcho chatziamo. The room is the height, was a half an amo. So if you have 12 stairs, 12 times a half amo, that gives you 6 amos of height increase. Vishulcho chatziamo, and the width of the stair was also a half an amo. That statistic is not important for us now. Tesfov malos olos mitocho hayordos meezras Yisrael leezras noshim. In other words, after we rose our 6 amos, we got to another point at which there would be then more stairs that connected the Ezras Noshim to the Ezras Yisrael. And those 15 stairs would account for another 7.5 amma increase of height. So as the source says, Rum malo chatzi amma v'shilcha chatzi amma, the same dimensions we saw before, height of each stair was a half an amma, and the width a half an amma. Now, if you have a height of each stair a half an amma, and you've got 15, so you've got 15 halves, 7.5 ammas. So, if we're keeping track, we had an increase of height of 6, and now 7.5, and we're in the Ezras Yisrael. So, we've risen from the base of the Temple Mount 13.5 ammas, utnan. Another statistic coming up is Bein Ha'ulam V'Lamizbeach Chof Beis Amo. Between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, there was an area, a gap of 22 Amos. Ushtem Esrei Malos Hoyu Shom. And there were 12 stairs there. We're going from the floor of the Azorah, and we're going into the Ulam. And there were 12 stairs. That means an increase of 6 amos of height. Rum malo chatzi amo v'shilcho chatzi amo. Rum malo, again, is the height of each stair was a half an amo, and the width a half an amo. So if the height of each stair was a half an amo, and we have 12 times a half, again, 6 amos. All we have to do right now is just add up numbers from the base of Temple Mount till where we are right now at the height of the Ulam entranceway. Ulam, from the Ulam, there were no stairs going from the Ulam into the Heichal, so we're at the maximum height right now. You've got 19.5 amos. If you can imagine, at the base of the Temple Mount, there was a gateway measuring 20 amos of height. If you were to peer through the uppermost space in that gateway, could you see through into the Heichal entrance? Well, if the Heichal floor is at the 19.5 amo mark in terms of rising, from base of Temple Mount to entrance of Heichal, and the gate leading to the Temple Mount was 20 amos. That means that you could see through the upper half amo of the gate on the eastern side and still see into the Heichal, albeit the floor of the Heichal. You'd have a space there of a half an amo from floor up another half an amo. You'd be looking into the entrance of the Heichal through the Ulam, which is an antechamber leading into the Heichal. If that were the end of the story, so you can have a normal eastern wall of Temple Mount, and using the gate, you could see through the top of the gate, looking through into the Heichal. So you could be standing on the Mount of Olives. As it is, it's a mountain, so you have a height rise of stand at the point of which on the Mount of Olives, looking through the gate of the Temple Mount. However, Utnan. So, by the way, if that would be the case, so why at the beginning of this Tanaic source, or at the beginning of this frame, did the source maintain a need for a low eastern wall? You didn't need to have a low eastern wall. You could have a normal eastern wall looking through the gateway. Here's now the main point. Utnan, Reb Elozer ben Yaakov Oimer, Malahoy Sasham. There was another step or increase of height. Another increase of height. The Gavoa Amo. One more Amo that had to be accounted for. This Mala Amo, this increase of one Amo in height, ran across the entire width of the Ezras Yisrael. So this increases our statistics. When we got to the 13 and a half Amo mark, we were at that point standing in the Ezras Yisrael. However, Rabbi Elozer ben Yaakov says that you've got to now add one more amma, making 14 and a half ammas of height rise, when you get to this point in the Ezras Yisrael. And he says that on that increased height, v'duchan nosun olel uboi shlosh malu shel chatzi amma. This is not important for our calculations right now. This Duchan is a platform that had its own increased height, but that's not important for right now. What we have to notice is that when we get to the Ezras Yisrael, we had risen 13 and a half amas. Even before you get to the Ulam, you've got to account for an increase of another amma, 14 and a half amas. And then from that point, you're going to count your six amos from the Azora into the Heichal. So 14 and a half plus 6 is 20 and a half amas. There will be 20 and a half amas of rise, of height increase, 20 and a half from the Temple Mount base till you can get into the Heichal, 20 and a half amas. The gateways surrounding the bottom of the Temple Mount had a height of only 20 amos. So if you were looking through the topmost part of the gateway leading to the Temple Mount, you would not be seeing entranceway yet. You wouldn't be able to see the entranceway, because the entranceway into the Heichal, the floor of the entranceway into the Heichal, was at a 20 and a half amos point. That is all according to Reb Elozer ben Yaakov. Now, having said that, we understand why on the eastern side of the Temple Mount there was a need for a low wall. The Gemara spells this out. E Amris Bishlamo Reb Elozer ben Yaakov hi. Now, these triangles will be highlighting authorships for Maseches Midos, because we're going to mention another name shortly. So there's a need for marking these names to keep track of who the authorship is. So if you say very well that Midos is authored by Reb Elozer ben Yaakov, Hainu de ifsi lay pischa. With that, I understand that ifsi means covered up. The Pesach of the Heichal, the entranceway to the Heichal would be covered, namely that by looking through the gateway leading to the Temple Mount, you would not be able to see the entranceway. It would be covered, so to speak. It would be not visible. Hence the need for a low wall on the eastern side of the Temple Mount. Where did you see something like that? Well, we saw that in Maseches Midos, and that was dashed underlined on the first wide line of the Gemara. That was a source from Maseches Midos. So if you combine Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv and his increased height of the extra amo with the need for a low wall on the eastern side of the Temple Mount, things make sense. Eloi Amis Rabbonon, if you're going to say it's the opinion of the Rabbonon, namely those that didn't account for the increased height of one extra amo, Ha'iko Palga de Amsa, there still is a half an amo, the Mischazi Le Pischa Begave, a half an amo of the gate of the Har Habayis, the Temple Mount gate. You can look through the upper half amo of space while standing on the Mount of Olives, looking through the upper half amo of space of Temple Mount gateway, looking through it and see Begavo, through that upper half amo, see into the Heichal. And if you could, then there's no need for a low wall on the eastern side of the Temple Mount. Elolav, Shmamino, Rebelozer ben Yankivhi. We thus therefore conclude that Maseches Midos, which did mention the need for a low wall on the eastern side of the Temple Mount, is in fact authored by Rebelozer ben Yankiv. Rav Ado bar Av Omar. Now, what he does here is he disagrees with the point in the Gemara that said, Hochinami Mestabra, the Rebelozer ben Yankivhi. We said this on the second to last narrow line of Gemara. He is cholek on that. He disagrees and says that we can account for a low wall for the eastern side of the Temple Mount for another reason. Not because there was a rise of 20 and a half amos of Temple Mount, not because of that, but simply because the Mizbeach which was a very large structure. It measured 32 by 32 amos, because the Mizbeach blocked the entranceway, or let's say it was positioned. The Mizbeach was positioned opposite the entranceway of the Heichal. Now, the width of the entranceway of the Heichal was 10 amos. The Mizbeach had a width of 32 amos. The Mizbeach was located on the floor of the Azorah, having a height of 10 amos, or let's say for our discussion purposes, a height of 9 amos. We mentioned 10 because there were protrusions that were known as Kronos corners around the Mizbeach in its four corners, each one an Am in height, but that's not an important statistic for our discussion right now. So the need for a low wall on the eastern side was not because of height increase, but because the Mizbeach was blocking, or the Mizbeach was positioned opposite the entranceway of the Heichal. So, according to this approach, you could have the Azorah rising a total of 13 and a half amos, but opposite that. At that point, you've reached on the floor height of the Azorah 13.5 amos, and we know that there was another 6 amos to account for, but place the Mizbeach opposite the entranceway. So you're at the 13.5 amo height, and now you've put a structure with a height of 9 amos blocking the entranceway. In other words, not blocking, but positioned opposite the entranceway of the Heichal. In order to, let's say, see over the Mizbeach, you've gone from 13.5 plus 9. That's 22.5 amos. You'd have to be able to see over the top of the Mizbeach in order to notice entranceway of the Heichal. Well, if you're standing at the on the Mount of Olives opposite all of this, and you have a gate that measures 20 amos high, you won't be able to see through that gate into the entranceway of the Heichal. Why not? Because in the entranceway, to be viewed, you'd have to be able to see over the top of the Mizbeach. But at that point, you're 22.5 amos from the floor of the Temple Mount. You've risen that high, that much higher. So a gate that has a height of 20 amos will not allow you to peer through the top, the uppermost part of the gate, and see directly into the Heichal. Therefore, in order to get around that problem, we have a low wall on the eastern side, so you'd be able to see over the wall, over the top of the Mizbeach, and see the entranceway into the Heichal, opposite which you'll do the Zrikas Hadam of the Pora Aduma. So now, that having been said orally, we look into the Gemara, and maybe another word of introduction, and that is that the Mizbeach was positioned opposite the entranceway of the Heichal. The issue of positioning of Mizbeach itself is a major controversy. But in order to validate Rav Ada Bar Ava's approach, we have to make that assumption. And if you want to say, as he does, that Midos is authored by Rav Yehuda, he is going to represent that particular point of view. There's another comment that we have in that will help for as far as markings are concerned. We have this unusual dashed bow tie on the side. We have a note, the starred note, and let's read it. Yesh mokoim lomar. There's room to say shigam rav ado bo liyashiv hastira ben hamakoros besof tesvav mitbeis, that Rav Ada also fills a role in resolving the seeming controversy or contradiction that we introduced on Tes Vav Amud Beis between Tomid and Midos. That, if you recall, had to do with the position of the Lishkas HaTolim in the Ezras Noshim, southwestern or northwestern corner. How would this be a resolution? We'd be simply saying that Midos is authored by, according to Rav Ada, by Rebbe Yehuda. So this resolution would be Bazeh Sheminasi Lahamid Maseches Midos Kribi Yehuda. By virtue of the fact that Rav Ada is attempting to assign authorship to Maseches Midos as being a different than that of Maseches Tomid, so there's no contradiction. It's simply two different authorities. And we have a note here to Ayin Rashi Omid Beis Dibur Hamasel VeIsalka Daitoch. You can look into Rashi there on Omid Beis, the next Omid of our Gemara. The Odai in Rashi be'emsa dibur hamaschil el olav ube'enai nira. It appears to me that's what you'll see over there in the Rashi. It's a quote from the Rashi. Dishom Rashi be'emes machshivis Rav Ada ka'odeo habol yashiv hastira. So it appears from Rashi that Rav Ada's role is to offer another resolution. So in terms of counting these bow ties, you would then have to count the next bow tie, which appears on Daf Yud Zayin Omid Aleph, as being number 3. So it all depends on how you look at things. So that having been said, Rav Ado Bar Ava tells us that Maseches Midos isn't necessarily authored by Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, but rather Ha'amani Rabbi Yehudahi, the Sanya. Once again, Rabbi Yehuda deals with the positioning of the Mizbeach, and hence the need for a lower wall on the eastern side of the Temple Mount. Desanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaMizbeach Mimutza. Now we dashed on the line, says, this is the main point. The Mizbeach was centrally located, the Omer Be'emsa Azora. It was positioned in the middle of the Azora, and in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal and the Azora, things were very symmetrical, so that the positioning of the Mizbeach smack in the middle of the Azora, and it having a width of, as it says here, Ushloishim Ushtaim Amos Hoyulo, it had a width of 32 Amos, that width was much wider than the entranceway to the Heichal, so that if you want to be able to see into the Heichal, you've got to be able to see over the top of the Mizbeach. So that if you're standing on the floor of, if you're standing on the temple, on the Mount of Olives, that is, you've got to be able to see through the gateway, if you can, and then over the top of the Mizbeach, and that you won't be able to do. And here the source goes on to say that the width of the Mizbeach was 32 Amos. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, Eser Amos Keneged Pischo, Shel Heichal. 10 of those 32 Amos were, in effect, blocking the entranceway to the Heichal, because the Heichal entranceway was only 10 Amos. So 10 of the 32 Amos of the Mizbeach were blocking the entranceway to the Heichal. Yud Aleph Amo L'Tzofon, Yud Aleph Amo L'Dorom. And then there was an additional 11 Amos to the north, Tzofon is north, and additional Amos 12, 11 Amos to the south. In other words, 11 and 11 is 22, plus 10, 32 Amos. Nimtzo Mizbeach, Mechuvon, Keneged, Heichal, V'Koslov. It came out then that the Mizbeach was positioned opposite the Heichal and its walls. All of this, based on everything we've said till now with regard to the 20 Amma height of the gate leading into the Temple Mount, the Mizbeach blocking the entranceway of the Heichal, we have explained why you'll need to have a low wall on the eastern side, so that the Kohen, that's Sarif HaSapora, could see over the wall, over the top of the Mizbeach, and see the entranceway of the Heichal. The Gemara at this point introduces a question, and you'll notice it's a very long question. It takes us to the bottom line, and therefore you'll see at the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, if we skip ahead, the Gemara says, Elo Lav, Shma Mino, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Hi Shma Mino. As a result of this question, we're not going to be able to continue maintaining that Midos is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, as Rav Ado wanted to say. And the Gemara, therefore, will come back to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov at the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Following that, we'll see what we call the third approach of Rav Ado Breid Rav Yitzchok, who resolves the stira between Midos and Tomid in his way. So now we start the question. In this source, we're going to discuss, we have on the side of the Gemara, we're going to be discussing Midos Hazara Mahoyabah, the dimensions of the courtyard and what was located in it. As we go through the Gemara, we're going to notice we're going to notice the use of brackets, and that is because we want to keep focus on what our Iker, what the main discussion is all about. The Gemara, third line from the top. V'i salka daitoch midos Rabbi Yehudahi, if you think to say, to establish Maseches Midos is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, well, Mizbech dem sazor mi mishkachas le, will you find, in fact, that according to Maseches Midos, the Mizbeach is centrally located? When we say centrally located, if you locate it in the middle of the Azorah, the midpoint of the Azorah is in fact opposite the midpoint of the Heichal entranceway. According to Maseches Midos, though, the Mizbeach was not in the middle. In fact, the Mizbeach, according to Maseches Midos, we will find, is drawn the southern part of the Azorah. If most of the Mizbeach is in the southern part of the Azorah, the width of the Azorah running north-south, so there will be a part of the entranceway of the Heichal that is still not blocked by the Mizbeach. And if according to Midos, Maseches Midos, the Mizbeach was not in the middle, so then Midos is not authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda clearly said that the Mizbeach is located in the middle of the Azorah, but Maseches Midos doesn't agree with that. And that is essentially the whole question. And that's why the Gemara feels we cannot set up Maseches Midos, which does not have the Mizbeach centrally located, as being authored by Rabbi Yehuda, who says the Mizbeach was centrally located. Our job now is to present all of the measures and the statistics to demonstrate that the Mizbeach was not centrally located. And if we can accomplish that, then we will have thrown a wrench into Rav Ado Bar Ahava's attempt. We continue in the Gemara. V'hotnan. Have we not learned in Maseches Midos that the Mizbeach Basically, we have not learned that the Mizbeach is not centrally located? Has it not been taught there, Kol Azorah Hoy Se'oruch Mea Ushmoinim Sheva Al Roichav Mea Ushloshim B'chomesh? The Azorah dimensions were 187 Amos by 135 Amos. The bracketed section can actually be skipped right now, or we can read it through very quickly, because this section is dealing with the dimensions east to west. And that is not what is of relevance to us right now. What we're interested in are how do we account for the dimensions north to south, as we will see later. But having said that, let's go through the bracketed section straight off, knowing that what we're learning here is not relevant to our goal right now. It says that min ha-mizrach l'marav, if you're moving from east to west, you're walking into the temple courtyard, and we said we have to account for 187 amos, what was located in those 187 amos, moving from east to west. Min ha-mizrach l'marav me'av ishmoinim sheva. Mokom trisas ragli Yisrael yud alef amos, the area available for the general public to walk was limited to 11 amos. We're moving east to west, so 11 amos moving westward is called drisas. Drisa literally is trampling, it's an area you're allowed to walk in. Mokom drisas ragli kohanim yud alef amos, another 11 amos where kohanim were allowed to walk. Mizbeach shloishim ushtayim, another 32 amos we account for in which the mizbeach was positioned. Bein ha'ulam mizbeach esrim ushtayim, another 22 amos between the ulam and the mizbeach. And as you're moving from the mizbeach toward the ulam, the antechamber, there was another 22 amos. Vaheichal kufama, and the enclosed section of the Beis HaMikdash measured 100 amos. Yud Aleph Amah Chorei Beis HaKavos, and another 11 amos on the far side, on the
on the other side of the Heichal till you get to the end of the Azara. That's called the 11 Amos Achorei Beis HaKaporos, after, on the other side of the Beis HaKaporos, another term that is related to the Kodshei Kodshim. As we see, the brackets closes here. Now we become interested. We're dealing with the measures moving from south to north. Min HaDorom LaTzofon, Mea Ushloshim V'Chomesh. When, as you're moving from, let's say, from south to north, there would be 135 amos, accounting for the width of the Heichal, of the Azorah, that is. Needless to say, that 67.5 amos is the midpoint. When we speak about the midpoint, that's from the wall, from the southern wall of the Azorah till you get to the midpoint, is 67.5 amos. Now, bear in mind that the Heichal itself was centrally located. It was symmetrical, so that half of the Heichal entranceway would also be at the 67.5 amma mark. However, the Heichal itself, the entranceway, was 10 amos. So, from that 67.5 amma mark, you'd have another 5 amos of entranceway that is still, say, open entranceway from moving from the midpoint of the Azorah northwards, 5 more amos. So you would have entranceway of Heichal at the 72.5 amma mark, moving from south to north. 72.5 amma. That number is important to keep in mind. The issue will be, does the Mizbeach extend to the 72.5 amma mark? If it does not, so then you don't need to have a low wall. You don't need to have a low wall on the eastern side of the Temple Mount, because the Mizbeach is simply not blocking the Heichal entranceway. Now, let's see this in the Gemara. As you're moving from south to north, we have to account for 135 amos. Hakevesh v'mizbeach shishim u'shtayim. The ramp of the Mizbeach and the Mizbeach itself would account for 62 amos. Min ha-Mizbeach v'la-Tabois shmoina amos. From the Mizbeach till the Tabos, which were rings that were used for the slaughtering of animals, 8 amos. That's till you got to the Tabos. Mokom ha-Tabos esrim v'arba. The area that the rings themselves took up, the rings were used for, as we said, to help in the slaughtering of animals. The animal's neck or head would be placed into this ring, keeping it in position for slaughtering. So the area of the rings itself accounts for 24 amos. Min ha-Tabos l'shulchonos arba. From the rings till the shulchanos would account for 4 amos. According to one pshat in Rashi, the shulchanos themselves accounts for 4 amos. That is not spelled out in the text here, but it's another statistic. Min ha-shulchanos l'nanosim arba, from the shulchanos to the low poles, the nanosim literally dwarf, they're sort of low poles, 4 amos. Min ha-nanosim l'koiso l'azora, 8 amos. We've accounted for 114 amos total in all the numbers we presented. We mentioned there were 135 amos, so we have to account for another 21 amos. V'hamosar, the balance of these numbers, bein ha-kevesh v'la-koiso u'mokom ha-nanosim. That would be accounted for by the space between the southern wall and the ramp of the Mizbeach, and the area taken up by the Nanosim. Now, we don't want to, overburden ourselves with focusing too much on the numbers. But suffice it to say that the Mizbeach, even if it were, if you would add these half of these 21 amos, it'd be 10 and a half amos, pushing the Mizbeach northwards. In other words, they're pushing the ramp and the Mizbeach northwards, you would still be able to see, granted that if we did that, so the at the base of the Mizbeach, the entranceway would be blocked. However, the Mizbeach does not measure 32 by 32 on the upper part of the Mizbeach. There are ledges that are built into the side of the Mizbeach. And to make matters simple, you would be able to see through the gate of the Temple Mount over the over what's called the Sovev of the Mizbeach. You would be able to see into the Heichal without the need for a low eastern wall. Rashi is quite extensive and detailed over here, but if you want to see the point we just mentioned, you could see this in the wide lines of the Rashi, the third of the wide lines under the Tosfos commentary. You can see we've dashed underline it, where Rashi says, just we'll read that line, Nimtzot Sofon Chalal HaPesach Megula Lamala Miknisas HaSoivik Shnei Amos. The northern extreme of the entranceway of the Heichal is exposed over the top of the Sovev ledge, two amos. You have two amos of exposure. The Yocholiros Kohen Shebarosh Hara Mashcha Derech Oisun Shnei Amos is Pesach HaHeichal. The Kohen position on the Mount of Olives, looking through the top of the gate, could see over the Sovev into the Heichal without any need for a low eastern wall. So according to Maseches Midos, and the positioning of the Mizbeach not being in the middle, no need, there would be no need for a low eastern wall. V'i salka daitoch, the Gemara continues, we're in the text, three lines from the bottom. V'i salka daitoch Midos equals Rabbi Yehuda hi, if you were to say that Midos is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, Mizbeach b'am sazor mi mishkachas lei. Do you see the Mizbeach in the middle of the Azara? Haruba the Mizbeach bedorom koi. The majority of the Mizbeach is in the southern half of the Azara, not in the middle of the Azara. Continuing at the top of Yud Zayin Omer Aleph El Olav, rather we must conclude Shma Mino Rebbe Lezer Ben Yankiv Hi. Shma Mino, that Midos is authored by Rebbe Lezer Ben Yankiv, and that's why in Maseches Midos, since he accounts for the extra amal increase, getting you to a Heichal entrance of 20 and a half amos from the entrance to the Har HaBayis, without a low eastern wall, you wouldn't be able to see through the top of the gateway leading to the Har HaBayis. So this establishes, like the original approach taken by our bow tie number one by Rav Huna back on Tes Zayin Omer Aleph. You can see that we have another bow tie, but in the context of our Daf Yomi setup, this would be the end of our Daf Tes Zayin quota. However, we are in the middle of a discussion that had started back on Tes Vav Amud Beis, where the stira between Midos and Tomid was pointed out. Up till now then, we have seen Rav Huna's approach, saying that there's no contradiction, but rather Midos is authored by one authority, namely Rebbe Elazar ben Yankiv, and Tomid by another authority. Rav Ado bar Ava attempted to resolve that, but it was not successful, and we now have Rav Ado Breider Rav Yitzchok coming up to resolve it in his way. And he will point out, he doesn't get involved with authorships, he simply says that Midos and Tomid are one in the same, and as far as the seeming contradiction regarding the Lishkas HaTloyim, well, he says it's a matter of, let's say, perspective. And Mirtz Hashem, the details of his answer will be the subject of our next shiur. Before we conclude, let us remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.